So this morning is obviously a very, very special morning in the sense that we have the opportunity to gather like this. And I don't know about you, but just being amongst God's people is always a blessing. It's always something miraculous about coming together. And I think all of us, we know that it is a privilege to gather like this. And the reality is also that I don't know what things are going to look like going forward with COVID and all of those things, but every Sunday that we can gather, we actually understand it's a blessing. It's a privilege, eh? And I really want to encourage us to make the most of it, to grab hold of the opportunities to come together and to get to know each other and to fellowship with each other, but also to encourage each other and to speak life over one another, because we have the opportunity to be in a life-giving environment, to come together where people believe in one another and believe what God is doing in each other's lives, and we can speak life over one another. And that's special. There aren't too many places like that out in the world. And one of the reasons why we can come together like this was because of Pentecost Sunday, which we're celebrating today, which is also something worth just thinking about and considering the significance behind that, because it really changed the life of the church. It changed the life of believers, and it's still changing our lives. And so Pentecost Sunday, we of course understand and know there was it's a significant day in the life of the church. It was the day when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers, and it changed the lives of the people who were gathered in that upper room, like we are today gathered in the upper room here. And they were a little bit more than us. I think we're about 90 here this morning, and there were 120 people gathered in this upper room having church, and they were gathered together for 10 days after the resurrection, 10 days between the resurrection of Jesus and when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And when we talk about Pentecost, we obviously think of Pentecostalism. We think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there are a lot of things that we think of when we think of Pentecost, and many of us have certain ideas as well and certain experiences when we think about Pentecost. But Pentecost really wouldn't be Pentecost without the Holy Spirit. And so I think it's important for us to, even when we think about Pentecost and we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is to understand that central to Pentecost is the person of the Holy Spirit. And one can very easily be distracted by all the things around that and the manifestations around Pentecost and how we believe those experiences need to take place. And very often those things can sidetrack us from the reality of the Holy Spirit was given to us as a precious gift. And so when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't have enough time this morning to really do the Holy Spirit justice. I'm just going to touch a little bit on one or two elements of the Holy Spirit. But just suffice to say, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, there are different dimensions of this. Just for now, let's talk about the subject of the Holy Spirit. There's the person of the Holy Spirit. Do we have the slides? We have the person of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. All right. So often for each one of us, when we think of the Holy Spirit and the topic of the Holy Spirit comes up, maybe we read a verse in the Bible, or someone talks about the Holy Spirit, or feels maybe we say the Holy Spirit has led me to do this. Or then in our minds, when we think of the Holy Spirit, we will normally think of one of these things. Some of us will think the person of the Holy Spirit, him as a person with whom we have relationship. Some of us might think are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of us might think the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, and so forth. The gifts, we know, words of wisdom and knowledge and working of miracles and prophecy and so forth. And some of us might think of the working of the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit is the one that causes people to be born again. The Holy Spirit is the one who works on people and works through people. And all of those aspects of the Holy Spirit is part and parcel of who he is. Right? And our challenge as believers is when we study scripture is to not just take one aspect that we like and that flows with our gifts and just hold on to that. So when we think about the Holy Spirit and we study the Holy Spirit, it's important to grow in our understanding. And I want to encourage you to do Bible school. You can do it online. You can enroll even just for one module on the Holy Spirit where we cover what we call pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, which is rich and so valuable. And again, we don't have the time in one sermon to go into that. But as we're sitting here, all of us on one level or another have had an experience with the person of the Holy Spirit. Maybe we've had an experience with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, or the working of the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to continue to grow in that revelation, continue to grow in what you know about the Holy Spirit, but also to open yourself up maybe for some new things of the Holy Spirit that you don't know, because He is God, and we will never ever fully know God. We will grow in our knowledge of God. I've had the privilege now of being married to Nikki for 18 years, and every day is an adventure. Every day there are new things that I'm discovering about her, expected things and sometimes unexpected things, beautiful things that I discover about her as a person, so much more so the person of the Holy Spirit. And I love what Dwight L. Moody said, and before I read that, let me just pray for us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in this place. We thank you that you are real. We thank you that you have come to remind us of everything that Jesus has spoken. And we thank you that you've already begun to move in our midst and to speak to us, Lord. And so I just pray this morning, Father, that you will come and that you will, Lord, work in all of our hearts. Thank you that I can surrender my thoughts, Lord, to you, and I can surrender, Lord God, my words to you and ask that you will come and that you will say just what you want to say, Lord, this morning. Thank you for each one of our hearts that it has been prepared, Lord, to receive from you. We trust your word and we trust the working of your Holy Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Dwight L. Moody was a phenomenal preacher. He planted many churches, started many children's church ministries, and he was busy doing a crusade outreach services, and these two old ladies came up to him. If you read church history and you read revivals, there's always an old lady in somewhere. There's always this little lady there that sees something that the pastor doesn't see, and she holds on to God, and she's praying, right? And so if you feel older, right? I don't want to say old. But if you feel older, then maybe grab hold of this. Your legacy is to stir revival, right? That's your legacy for the older ones amongst us. Your legacy isn't just to fade away. Your legacy is to see fire starting in the hearts of God's people. And so these two ladies came up to Dwight and told him, "We're praying for you." And he's used to praying for people. You know, he's used to one doing the altar calls and praying for them. And they said, "We're going to pray for you and we commit to pray for you for the next few weeks until you start preaching with fire." So he was a little bit offended. So he's planted lots of churches, preaching to hundreds of people, thousands of people. But these two old ladies, every time they came up to say, "We're praying for you. Then eventually he said, "All right, you know, let me pray with you and trust God. What is this thing that you are talking about?" And he says that he was walking one day and just crying out to God, say, "God, it's you're stirring a hunger in my heart for more than what I know about you. Show me what that more is." And then as he just was walking, he felt the Holy Spirit come upon him. He became overwhelmed with this indescribable joy and yet this deep sense of repentance at the same time. He went to a friend's house, the closest friend nearby, and said, "I just need a room. I need to spend time with God." He went into that room, locked himself up there for hours, and had this massive encounter with God. And from there, his whole ministry shifted and went to the next level. He started ministering to tens of thousands of people, and everything about him changed. And he came from a very traditional background. He wasn't raised in a Pentecostal environment, but it changed his life. And this is what he said in his book, Secret Power, speaking about the power of the Holy Spirit in prayer. He says, "The Holy Spirit in us is one thing, and the Holy Spirit on us for service is another." And so I think that's one of the first things we just need to say to one another is that no person can come to God, no person can get born again without the working of the Holy Spirit, right? And so when we get born again, we already have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that regenerates us, causes us to come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of life. So no born again believer can be born again, can be a child of God and not have the Holy Spirit. He's inside each one of us. But there's a difference, and we will look at it now, between having the Holy Spirit inside of us and the Holy Spirit actually having us, having all of us, and the Holy Spirit coming upon us to empower us for work of service. Derek Prince, who's a wonderful, very sound, very balanced biblical teacher, I want to recommend his work to you guys if you want to just read up more on the Holy Spirit as well. He isn't excessive, either on the one extreme or on the other extreme. And he says this about the Holy Spirit: "I want to tell you some things that the Holy Spirit is not." Maybe it's important to start there. He's not an impersonal influence. It's not an impersonal influence. It's not some force out there, right? He's not a theological abstraction that we can just debate about and just talk about and theorize about. He's not a system. He's not, this is how you do church and this will then be how the Holy Spirit moves. He's not a system. He's not a set of rules. He's not an ecclesiastical hierarchy. He's not a half sentence near the end of the Apostles' Creed. He is a person. And he's a third person in the Trinity, as real and as part of God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All right, and so he's not just, we're not just talking about an experience. We're not just talking, he's not a dove, he's not fire. He manifests himself in different ways, but he is a person as real as the person is that's sitting next to you. And if we want to get to know the Holy Spirit, then we need to get to know him as a person. And so what we really want to do when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we think about the Holy Spirit, is to really look at how did Jesus live his life. Amen? Because our best role model isn't a preacher, isn't somebody who writes books about the Holy Spirit. Ultimately, those things can help, but Jesus is our example, right? And so I believe that if we stick to Jesus, we're going to be safe, right? And so if we look at how Jesus related to the Holy Spirit, there's this beautiful passage in Luke 4, verse 14. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. And let me read Luke 4, verse 1 first. All right. And so this is the chapter just after Jesus was baptized by his cousin John. Jesus is going into the desert. We know 40 days of temptation lies ahead of him. And so it says, Jesus, and this is Luke writing, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan where he'd just been baptized by his cousin John and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. So I just underlined that for emphasis for us. So we see Jesus, who was fully God and fully man. The Bible describes Jesus as being full of the Holy Spirit. Right? Jesus, when he operated, when he did things, didn't just do things in his own strength, but we see here that he was full of the Holy Spirit and he was led by the Holy Spirit as well. If we go towards the end of that experience of Jesus, the end of the desert experience, the Bible describes it in this way. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And so this is fascinating that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. The literal Greek translations, they speak about him overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And he was full of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And then that very same Holy Spirit led him into the desert. Led him into a place where for 40 days he was moving around in the desert being tempted by the devil. And very often we would go into a desert experience and maybe our desert experience is a place of testing, a place of trial, a place maybe even of disappointment. The amazing thing here is that the Holy Spirit led Jesus into this time, led him into this desert. And then something happens. When Jesus came out of the desert, it actually says he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. So during his desert experience, he received more of the Holy Spirit. He received something that enabled him when he came out of the desert experience, he came out differently. He went in filled with the Holy Spirit. He went in led by the Holy Spirit. But when he comes out, the Bible uses a different term. It's a different word being used for empowered than it is fulfilled and for being led. I hope you guys can see that. So there are three distinct, different ways in which the Holy Spirit deals with us, just like it did with Jesus. First, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was led by the Holy Spirit, and he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to work and to rest. We're talking about resting nowadays, and or during the season of our church's life, and Yaku preached an amazing sermon last week. I want to encourage you guys to listen to it, about faith and rest working together. But if you look up in Jesus' life, we see the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, empowered him to do the work of the ministry, but also empowered Jesus to rest. And I've just realized this, that we actually need the Holy Spirit to help us to rest. If you look at Jesus' life, you will see that when most people were working, Jesus was sleeping. And when most people were sleeping, Jesus was working, right? The Holy Spirit led Jesus into a different rhythm. The guys in the boat, there's a storm, they're panicking, they're just going ballistic, Jesus having a snooze, all right? And then the Garden of Gethsemane, they're sleeping, Jesus interceding. And the Holy Spirit was leading Jesus into a different rhythm. And I believe that if Jesus was filled with the Spirit, if he was led by the Spirit, and if he was empowered by the Spirit, then we also have that as our inheritance. And so we also then need to open up ourselves to the working of the Holy Spirit, to be filled by the Spirit of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, not to be led by the Spirit of God. Sorry, that's a spelling mistake. To be led by the Spirit of God, and we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit for the work of the ministry and also to rest in God. And so maybe as we go into this next few minutes, I want to ask you guys to just contemplate where in your journey with the Holy Spirit you can take the next step. All right, in terms of being filled with the Holy Spirit, in terms of being led by the Holy Spirit, and in terms of being empowered by the Holy Spirit as well. Now, I know in my own life that there have been times where I was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And I experienced the Holy Spirit as a young boy. I gave my life to the Lord, and so Jesus came to dwell inside of me through His Holy Spirit. I was born again, a very real born again experience, and I came to the Lord. But there was a time when I struggled, and I shared this with you, with a lot of fears and a lot of anxiety and things, even though I was born again, even though I had the Spirit of God in me. But there was a process that I had to go through of reading the Word of God, of understanding how God wants to lead me. That the Holy Spirit is inside of me, but He also wants to speak to me. And He can speak to me if I know Scripture, because He works through Scripture. Primarily, uses other things as well to speak to us. But if we don't know Scripture, we will not recognize His voice. Right? So I had the Holy Spirit, and I surrendered to the Holy Spirit when I was in grade 11, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and that changed my life again. Right? So I had this journey of being filled by Him, being led by Him, and being empowered by Him. When I surrendered to Him, my life changed. I went from this guy who couldn't speak in front of people in my class to being able to go onto the stage and speak to people and go out in the street. He delivered me from the fear of man when I was empowered by the Spirit of God. Right? And that was a process for me. And I believe each one of us this morning as we are here, we would also recognize in our own lives that process. So how are you doing in terms of being filled with the Spirit of God? How are you doing in terms of being led by God's Spirit day by day? The amazing thing about the Holy Spirit is He doesn't lead us in some weird way. The Holy Spirit would lead us gently, practically, in practical ways, like He led Yaku to just see this building and to explore the options of us to be here. That was Him being led by the Holy Spirit. That's how we ended up here, but He led him to drive down this road and not another road. He was in Lee having to go on the camp and Yaku having to deal alone with the kids and He was in all of those things which sometimes don't feel spiritual because you don't have the band. You don't have someone standing behind you saying, I've got a word for you, brother. I see a road. Hang on. It's a long road. I see a building. It's still vague, but I see it. I see it. Hang on. Dancing. I just hear the word dancing. Just, you know, sometimes God does work like that. He does. And many of us, He's spoken to us like that. But that's not the only way He works. And when He leads us, it's very simple, just a whisper here, a nudge here, leading us and guiding us, all right? And as we come together, I want to urge you, wherever you are in your journey with the Holy Spirit, to ask Him to take you to the next step. Lord, how can I surrender to You more, to receive more of You, to surrender more of myself to You? Because that's really the key, is for us to give more of ourselves over to God, for Him to use us. Lord, where are You leading me to guide my family better, to love my wife better, to serve my children better, to serve my community more. And the promises are for all of us, guys. And I just want to read for you a few promises. Acts 1 verse 5. Because maybe you feel that, oh, this Holy Spirit thing, I'm not too sure. Maybe it's for the very spiritual people. Jesus, in those 40 days between His resurrection and His ascension, in those 40 days, Jesus hung around with His disciples. He spoke to them about many things, and He also gave them promises. And it says in Acts 1 verse 5, while staying with them for 40 days, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Right? And so Jesus says to them, don't run away from Jerusalem. Don't run away from your problems. I know Jerusalem is the place where, where you had your greatest setbacks. That's where you failed me. That's where you ran away from the cross. That's where you're running away from the Romans. You're running away from Herod. You're running away from the Pharisees and the crowd that wants to kill you. Jerusalem doesn't have a good memory for the disciples. Right? They probably would have wanted to go to Galilee and just get far away from Jerusalem as possible. But Jesus says to them, go to Jerusalem. Don't depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father. Right, so here's the first important thing we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit is a gift from the Father. And we heard the word this morning, He's a good Father. And so when He gives us good gifts. The Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father. Now, I know the dads in this house, you just want to bless your kids. And I know the grandfathers in this house, I mean, you're just next level, right? There's no ending to how you want to spoil your grandchildren. Father God wants to spoil us. And one of the ways in which He spoils us is by giving us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a promise from the Father. I can't think of a greater gift that I can give you, my children, than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. The lady spoke about it this morning, how we as each other, we are gifts to one another. The Holy Spirit is a gift wrapped by the Father Himself for us. You know, so I don't in any way want to be in a position where I say to Father God, no, I don't want that gift. I know as a dad, you know, the joy that it brings me when my kids just come back and just say, Daddy, thanks for that ice cream. Dad, just thanks for taking us out. Dad, just thanks for coming to lie with me. It does something to my heart as a father when my kids say thank you. I'm like, I want to give you more. there's something that stirs in my heart when my gifts are appreciated and they loosen something inside of me. So I'm going to give you more. And I believe the way we treat the Holy Spirit does something to Father God's heart. The way we respond to the Holy Spirit. If we want to please Father God, then we need to treat the Holy Spirit well. If we want to please Father, we want to bring joy to Father, then we need to treat the Holy Spirit with respect and with honor that He deserves. Just go, wait for me, for the promise of the Father, which He said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Right, so this is at Jesus' resurrection. So 10 days from now, the Spirit comes. He says to them again in verse 7. Right, so Jesus is about to be resurrected. Angels appear, the cloud is there, and the disciples get excited. Yeah, man, this is it. God's kingdom is coming. I mean, there's power here. We can see Jesus is rising up. Now He's the Messiah. The Romans are going to be chased out of Israel. And they're waiting for the fulfillment of this promise. And they ask Jesus, God, Lord, is this the day that You restore the kingdom to Israel? Is this the day, the fulfillment of all of our promises? And Jesus says to them, don't worry about things you have no control over. It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority. He says, stay within your limits. There are certain things that you don't have to worry about. And I'm just like, as a church, we still need to learn this lesson. I mean, we're still like obsessed with when is the second coming? When is this happening? When is that thing happening? And we have to read the signs of the times. It is important. But if we're just listening to podcasts and reading books and debating, is He coming now? Is He coming next year? Is He coming in 100 years' time? Jesus would want to say to us, it is not for you to know all of these things. You can read the signs and prepare your heart, but the most important thing is stay the course. We heard it this morning, scope of, what do we call it? Defined scope. The defined scope for us as believers is to stay the course. It says, wait for the promise. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Don't worry about all the stuff you cannot control. This is my promise for you. This is my defined scope for you. I want you to be my witnesses. Whether Jesus is coming back tomorrow or 100 years from now, we need to have an urgency to have as many people as possible know about Him. That He's a good God, that He loves them, He doesn't want them to go to hell. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so He says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. In other words, you'll be able to tell other people what you have seen and what you have heard about the person and the character and the power of Jesus. Right? And so for 10 days, these 120 disciples, it's fascinating to me that there were over 400 at one stage to whom Jesus spoke. Only 120 made it to the upper room. Only 120 were willing to wait. Right? And they were willing to wait because they knew that in themselves they couldn't be good witnesses. It wasn't too long ago they ran away from people that said, you were with Jesus. It wasn't too long ago they wanted to go fishing. They knew, and so they were desperate for the promise. Are we still desperate for the promise of the Holy Spirit? And Yaku shared it last week. He says, when you have to run 100 kilometers, you pray a lot. I mean, I think all of us can. You're like, Yaku, you are crazy. You're like, 100 Ks. You would pray. There's 100 kilometers that lie ahead of us in terms of what God has called us to do. And I know sometimes we grow complacent and we can just fall back into our ways of doing things. But guys, if the Holy Spirit doesn't do it, nothing is going to happen. No life change is going to happen. No system, no building, no amount of doing this, doing that is going to change people's lives. The Yaldabaoth is not going to be changed unless the Holy Spirit have vehicles that he can work through. Right, it's the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts 2 verse 1 to 3, I'm going to read a few examples to you of what happens. When the day of Pentecost arrives, right, so this was 7 weeks from Passover. Three major feasts, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles that the Jewish people traveled to Jerusalem for. Right, and so 7 weeks after the harvest, 7 weeks and the day, Pente means 50. Pentecost arrives. It was the harvest of first fruits, right? So the first fruit, the first harvest that comes into the kingdom. The day of Pentecost arrives. They were all together in one place. I love this. Whenever I read that verse, I see the church and I'm like, yes, Jesus, there's a reason why you destined us to be together. Because Jesus could have easily poured out the Holy Spirit that first time as Peter is going to Galilee, as Philip is going to Samaria, and as the guys are walking. But no, he chooses to have the Holy Spirit come upon them as they are together in one place. Right, and that one place was more than just a physical place. They had to wrestle through their differences. Imagine the conversations in that room. You know, men and women together, some followed Jesus, some were at the cross, some had run away. There were probably a lot of conversations they had to have there. For 10 days in that room, just waiting on God, loving each other, serving each other, maybe washing each other's feet when they thought about how Jesus taught them what to do. Maybe repenting towards each other for their selfishness and forgiving each other and praying and worshiping and waiting on God. Let's not neglect the coming together. Let's not neglect what happens when we are in one place. And the Bible says that word, the Greek word for they were together, is the word that refers to they were in harmony with one another. They were in symphony with each other. If something happens when we tune into each other's wavelengths, when we get to know each other, we get to know each other personally and spiritually and emotionally. Something happens when we are together in one place. Together. I love this church. All of my heart, because I've seen how we have grown together into one. And suddenly there comes from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And so the Holy Spirit comes suddenly into the room. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is not primarily referring to speaking in our spiritual tongue. This refers to the tongues of humans, right? Because in verse 7, we see that people, the Jewish people from every part of the Roman Empire, as they had come together, they were speaking different languages. It says they were amazed and they were astonished, saying, are not all these Galileans? Man, these are poor fishermen. These guys can't even read and write, many of them. How is it that we hear each one of us in his native language, the gospel being preached? And so the Holy Spirit came upon them, empowered these guys to speak different languages that they could never speak in themselves. And so here we see a pattern. They believed in Jesus. They waited on him together, they received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other human languages. They were filled with boldness. And so what happens is, when we believe Jesus, when we wait on him, when we are together, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit then manifests through us, enables us to translate the gospel to people who don't know the gospel. In other words, there's a gift of translation that God gives us. There's the ability to speak someone else's language. God wants to empower you to be able to speak your boss's language, to be able to speak your son's language, to be able to speak your colleague's language, to be able to convey the gospel message in such a way that they can say, oh, now I hear it. Now I haven't seen this before. I've never heard this before. Now I hear it for the first time. All right, so they were filled with boldness. One of the first signs that we know that we've been filled with God's Spirit is we have a boldness to tell other people about Him. The Holy Spirit comes to embolden us. All right, in Acts 2 verse 37, just a few chapters on Peter, the guy who ran away from the slave girl, he preaches the message, right? He tells his thousands of people, literally hundreds of thousands of people who were in Jerusalem. He tells them, you guys crucified Jesus. You were the ones that crucified Him. And it says that when they heard this, after He preached at them, the first sermon, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? So here we see a pattern again. They heard the gospel message as the message was preached. And they repented. Right? So they hear the gospel message, they repent, they are baptized, and then they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And many of us, we've had that experience. Right? We've heard the gospel, we repented, we were baptized in water, and then we were filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit came upon the early church. They heard the message, they repented, they were then baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ in water, physically as adults, baptized, dunked, right? Baptismal, dunked in the water, came up, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit falls upon His people. Let's fast forward to Acts 4, verse 29 to 30. Peter and John, they were preaching the gospel. They were being faithful to Jesus. And as a reward for their faithfulness, they got persecution. All right? So that doesn't always go with our theology. So they're thrown in prison. They get beaten up. They get released. They go back to the disciples. Right? These are all disciples that were filled with the Holy Spirit again. Peter and John, the rest of the disciples, filled with God's Spirit. They come back for another prayer and thanksgiving meeting. Right? Peter and John, they're out of prison. They're a little bit beaten up. They come in there and they come together and they pray and they say, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue. I love this. Grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. They've just been persecuted. They've just gone through a hectic time. They come back together. And they understand, we have given a lot. We have expanded energy. We have met some resistance. And say, God, we want you to come. Give us boldness to continue. While you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. This is how they preach the gospel, with boldness and with signs and wonders following. And I believe that is part of our inheritance. Amen. That's why we put it out there on a Sunday. If you are sick, come. We can pray for you because we believe the same God who stretched out His hand back then is still stretching out His hand today. He's still working and backing up the gospel with signs and wonders performed in the name of Jesus. The book of Acts is actually not called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. It wasn't Jesus performing the work anymore. It was now the Holy Spirit performing it through ordinary people. Right? And that is our inheritance as well. And here comes something so beautiful in verse 31. When they had prayed, the place in which they had gathered together was shaken. Right? And so everything rattles. False teeth falling out. It's this big shaking that's taking place. Right? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Who were filled with the Holy Spirit? Peter and John and all the disciples were originally filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit again. You guys see that? There isn't just one baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are moments when we expand energy, when we minister, when we come back from the battle. And what needs to happen? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit again. Amen? So that we can continue to preach the gospel. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Some of us, maybe we started out in our initial baptism with the Holy Ghost with boldness, and we've lost a little bit of that. Then it's not a question of beating yourself up and feeling condemned. It's a question of coming back to the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. Say, Lord, I don't just want to start well. I want to finish well. Come and fill me again to continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Come and continue to fill me so that I can be what you have called me to be. All right? And we know preaching the gospel is not just what I'm doing here. It's a small part where you are working, where you are living, that's preaching the gospel. And you cannot do it just as much as I cannot do it without the infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you think you can do your accounting work and your plumbing work and your teaching work without the Holy Spirit, your results will be temporary and it will be human only. We are not called to simply have temporal and human results. We have been called to do everything that we do as a declaration, as a witness to God. Amen? Everything. From the moment we go back home, we change the nappies, we go to the store, we buy something, we fill in our tax forms, we engage with those around us. Everything we do is supposed to be a witness to those around us. So they preached, they were persecuted, and they received a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. All right? Again, Acts 8 verse 14 to 16. I just want to give you a few different instances of when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples. Because I want you to see something. That he very rarely works the same way every time. All right? I just want you to see this. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, right? So Philip goes, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the evangelist Philip, the apostle, he goes, he preaches the word to the Samaritans. They receive the word of God, right? They believe the word of God. The apostles sent to them Peter and John. The guys probably had a bit of a laugh as well because the previous time John went to Samaria, he wanted to call down fire from heaven, right? To have the Samaritans destroyed. Now he's going and he's calling down some other fire. Hallelujah. Who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So please note something here. Those guys were born again. Amen? They received the word of God. They were born again, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. They received the word. They believed the word. And now Peter and John, they go and they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We all read the same word. You see the same thing, eh? They believers, they believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been baptized, but the Holy Spirit hasn't fallen on them yet. All right, you see that. Then it says in verse 17, then they laid hands on them. And they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon, look at this, saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of his hands, he wanted to have the same gift because he wanted to use it to make money. So what happens here? The apostles come, two believers who know Jesus, love Jesus, been baptized Jesus, they lay their hands on them, and the Bible says that they were then filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that Simon saw. So what does it mean? That means that something must have happened. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon us in such a way that people around us see it. Right? The infilling of the Holy Spirit leads to a physical change in us. Right? There's something that is different to us. Now, the Bible doesn't say in that context what was different about them. Right? So, we're not even going to read that into it. What it does say is that they received the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands, and Simon saw. That are through the laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit can be given. So they had repented, they've been born again, they've been baptized, but not yet filled. Now, in Acts 10, verse 44 to 45, and I'm almost done. Peter is going to Cornelius' household, so this whole household together, they're Romans, right? They're pagans, they Gentiles who are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter goes to them, Cornelius sends for Peter. Peter comes with a couple of his friends and they come there. They're a little bit shaken up. They've never preached to the Gentiles before. They're just used to Jewish people coming to salvation. Now you have these uncircumcised Gentiles that are hungry for the gospel. And Peter walks in there and starts preaching to them. And while still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Right? So notice this. He's just preaching, right? He's just ministering the gospel. He's even laying hands on them and the Holy Spirit falls on them. All right? So here again, without the laying of hands, the Holy Spirit falls on them. So sometimes it's a laying on of hands, the Holy Spirit falls on them. Sometimes it's just preaching, the Holy Spirit falls on them. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Remember the context of that word poured out, anointed, the shofar, the ram's horn filled with oil, poured out upon people, not like we do often when we anoint people just with a little bit. It was poured out. They were soaked and drenched in the oil. That's the word there. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. All right, the Holy Spirit poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. So here we see that one of the signs, it's here in Scripture, it's not what Heinrich is saying. Here in Scripture, in verse 46, it says that in this context, what happened when the gift of the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, they were speaking in tongues and extolling God, right? So within this context, not speaking about other tongues, there's no indication within Scripture that these tongues were human tongues. They were in all likelihood spiritual tongues used by the Holy Spirit. So they speak in tongues, they extol God. Then Peter declares, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? Then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. The pattern, they heard the gospel, they believed the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell on them, they started speaking in tongues, they started praising God without the laying on of hands and before water baptism, right? So sometimes people repent, they baptize in the water, the Holy Spirit comes upon them. Sometimes people repent, they baptize in the Holy Spirit, and then they water baptize. Sometimes people repent, they believe, people lay hands on them, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people just listen, they believe, and they baptize in the Holy Spirit. What's the pattern, Lord? Just give me the pattern. It's all that I want. Give me the recipe. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Get to know the Holy Spirit, right? There is no recipe. All right, he works differently because he is God, and we will not and cannot dictate to God how he must work. Right, we can just look at Scripture, we can see things there that stir our heart, and we can say, Lord, that is what I'm saying. I'm saying, Lord, what you did for the early believers, do for me. That's all that I'm saying. When I look at Scripture and I see something that's there in Scripture that God has promised to all of us, I say, if those guys did miracles, if they spoke in tongues, if they prophesied, God, please use me the same way. Right, however and whenever you want to do that. All right. Last one, Acts 19, verse 1 to 2. Paul passed through the inland country and he came to Ephesus on his missionary journey. And there he found some disciples. What did he find? Pagans. No, he found disciples, people who loved Jesus, who were already believers. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Right? So they had believed in God, they were children of God, and they say this. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. These guys loved Jesus. They were believers. But yet they didn't even know about the Holy Spirit. Right? And so it is possible to know Jesus. It is possible to have been born again by the Holy Spirit and not to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Do you also see that? It is possible to love Jesus, to believe, to have been born again by the Holy Spirit and not to have a living relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just because you don't know the Holy Spirit, haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean the Holy Spirit isn't in you. It just means you don't know Him. You haven't surrendered to Him yet. You haven't met Him yet. Okay? And so when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. Right? So here we see another pattern. They believers, ignorant of the Holy Spirit, received the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the laying on of hands, they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. Paul expected them to know whether they were filled with the Holy Spirit. He asked them, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? In other words, Paul expects believers, the Bible expects believers to know whether we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit or not. And if you are unsure, if you don't know whether you have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then the promise of Scripture is you don't have to be unsure. You don't have to wonder, do I have the Holy Spirit or not? You can receive the Holy Spirit by surrendering to Him. So in conclusion, I thank you for bearing with me. It's been a long, long service, but I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to keep you awake. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is a person, right? Whatever we walk away with from this morning, the Holy Spirit is a person. Not a force, not a song that you sing 10 times over and over. The Holy Spirit is a person. Right? It's not something we put in a bottle. It's not something that we use to for our own gain. He desires relationship with us. Amen? The Holy Spirit desires relationship with us. And He works as He pleases. He desires to fill us to overflow, right? So the people around us can know that we have the Holy Spirit. He desires us to go beyond what is natural for us. He wants to lead us in everyday life. He wants to empower us for witnessing. And He often uses people. Often, not always, not every time, but often He uses people to baptize us, to fill us, and to come upon us. Right? Summary of those verses that I've read. Sometimes He comes upon us without people, but often He uses people to pray for us, lay hands on us, so we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And very often, there's a manifestation of the gifts. Speaking in tongues is not the only manifestation of the gifts, right? So you can be filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and not necessarily speak in tongues. What we do know from Scripture is that Paul says, I'm going to read this verse for you quickly before we pray. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. He says, the one that speaks in a tongue builds himself up, edifies himself, strengthens himself. Right? So I'm looking at that and I'm saying, God has made a way for us to do what? To strengthen ourselves, to edify ourselves, and to build up ourselves. God has made a way for us to do that. How? Many different ways. Reading Scripture, praising God, spending time alone with the Father. But another way is that He is made available to us by doing what? Speaking in a tongue. That's available to us, what God has given us. Okay? It's a difference between speaking in a tongue for my own private edification, a difference when I stand here, speak in a tongue, I trust God to bring a revelation of a prophecy. Okay? The difference between that praying in the Spirit and then speaking in the Spirit. And so here is my last verse for us. Acts 19 verse 1 to 2. Can we stand on this as we're at the end? All I'm trusting to do this morning, I know most of you, you're like, I mean, we know this stuff, right? I know you know this stuff, all right? But I just believe that there's a nudging from the Holy Spirit for us to surrender even more to Him. I want a fresh infilling from the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so I can overflow. If there are things in me, because I would suspect that John and Peter and John, when they came back, maybe there was a little bit of a spirit of fear that wanted to creep into them. A little bit of trauma that wanted to come upon them. You don't go through being beaten up without experiencing maybe some trauma. Maybe just something wants to come in there that wants to say, next time, think twice before you say that. And they needed to be filled with God's Spirit again so all of those things could just be flushed out of their system. And I love what Acts 19 verse 1 to 2 says. No, sorry, that's not Acts. That's, I think it's in Ephesians. It says, sorry about that, I got the scripture reference wrong there, but the verse is correct, right? Believe me, the verse. Do not get drunk with wine, right? Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, Amplified says. It's corruption, stupidity. Maybe Eugene, can you quickly look up that? So I want to give the right scripture reference there. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, it's corruption, it's stupidity. Mune yourself and be simple drinking. But be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. He's writing it to believers. He's writing it to people who know Him. And He's saying, don't settle for just normal things to psych yourself up, to have a good time. He says, go for the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the same context there. He's actually just basically saying, get drunk on the Holy Spirit, respectfully saying. Fill yourself. Look to the Holy Spirit to fill you. Be filled, be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise by singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for all things. There's something beautiful that when we, Ephesians 5 verse 18, guys, sorry, Ephesians 5 verse 18, thanks Eugene. Ephesians 5 verse 18, spoken to the Ephesian church. When we go, when we come together, saying, when you come together filled with the Holy Spirit, there's something amazing that happens. I think it's one of the greatest miracles. God's people can come together. We all have different needs. But there's something when we come together filled with His Spirit. And man, there's, I had a meeting with some of my UK friends yesterday, and they met in a pub. The pub there is like just like a restaurant. It's not necessarily where everybody goes to drink themselves. Silly, but it's a place of fellowship. Everybody goes there. Kids go there. Family go there. And that's where they can meet now. That's where they can fellowship. And then there's this something about fellowshipping when we're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Together, you filled with the Holy Spirit, I filled with the Holy Spirit, and we come together, overflowing. We speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for all things. My greatest desire for us as a congregation is that we will now, once we move into a settled building, we will not lose our boldness to minister the Word of God, to reach the lost. Amen. We will not lose our hunger, our desperation for the Holy Spirit to do in us what only He can do. That we will come filled with God's Spirit. We will sing to each other psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that some of us will come and, like Peter and John, after coming out of prison, we will pray and say, God, we want to continue to speak Your Word. Fill us afresh. Maybe some of us this morning will have to say, I don't even know the Holy Spirit. Maybe I've heard of Him, but I don't know Him. And then we want to pray for you. So as the band leads us to sing some psalms and hymns, and I know, guys, we've kept you a while, and some of you have to go. So if you have to go, you can just slip out quietly. We love you. We're so thankful for coming. But if you can linger a little bit longer with us, and some of you just need to come and just say, I just need the elders. I just need you guys. Just lay hands on me. Right? We'll sanitize our hands, and we'll be safe. We'll have our masks on. We want to pray for you for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, or maybe a fresh infilling, right? And how He wants to manifest Himself to you and through you will be up to Him. But if you desire to speak in tongues, if you don't have the spiritual language in which you flow, then I believe it is God's desire to give that to you. If you desire it, if there's a desire in you, then Father God wants to give you that gift. He wants to bless you with that gift. If you desire to flow in the gifts of miracles, you desire to flow in a word of knowledge or prophecy because you love God, you love His people. And Father God wants to come and bless you with the Holy Spirit. If you're losing your cool just way too often, right? That's when somebody drives in front of you, the words that come out aren't words of edification. If you have some other tongues that you are speaking, then maybe you need to come and just ask the Holy Spirit, God, I want the heavenly language. I need some more joy, God. I've lost my joy. Holy Spirit wants to fill you with joy, supernatural joy. We want to pray for you. If you want to I want to surrender more to the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you've got callings as evangelists. You need to have the Holy Spirit just come upon you fresh so you can minister. Father, I want to thank You for Your people. I want to thank You for Your Word. Holy Spirit, You are so good. You are so faithful. We understand that You are God. We cannot box You in, Lord. And this morning, I even want to come on behalf of Your people, want to repent, Lord, for times when we have boxed You in that You can only work in this way, or this is what it looks like when You work. We want to give You carte blanche, Lord, to be God in our midst, to move in our midst the way that You want to. I thank You for these people, Lord, Your people, who love You and desire to follow You. And I pray now, God, that You will come and fill us afresh, so we can continue to speak the Word with boldness, Lord. I pray for a spirit of boldness upon this congregation to love others well, to love each other passionately, Lord, and to take Your gospel into the Yaldabaoth, into our Jerusalem, into, Lord, our Judea, into our Samaria, into the ends of the earth. Pray, Lord God, a fresh anointing upon the mission team that's going to the Eastern Cape, Lord, in July, an anointing upon Your people as they go to work tomorrow as missionaries, as witnesses, as You send them into the marketplace. Pray for fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit. If you just want to receive fresh infilling from the Holy Spirit, and want to surrender anew to the Lord, just there where you're standing, you just raise your hands and you speak to Him. You don't even need some high priest to minister to you this morning. It would be our privilege to pray with you and to lay hands on you if that is what you desire. But you can speak to God directly. You can speak to Him and ask Him, Lord, just fill me afresh. Lord, fill me for the first time. But if there's a desperation inside of you, if there's one desperate person here this morning, you want to be filled with God's Spirit, I want to pray with you and I want to ask you that as we worship Him, And maybe some of us need to say, Lord, I've lost my song a little bit. One of the signs in the New Testament is that when the Holy Spirit falls upon His people, they start prophesying, they start praising Him. And then we want to stir just praise in our hearts. So just come from there where you are. If the Holy Spirit is stuck on your heart, we can minister to you. Maybe you don't know Jesus, or you've just maybe slipped away from Him a little bit. And through His Spirit, He's calling you back. And He wants to touch you again this morning. We can pray for you. Just come. We want to pray with you and thank God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just there where you are, just surrender to Him. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for a fresh infilling, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. We bless you.
Praise you, Jesus. And I sing praises to your name. Praises to your name. Name that song greater than all names. And all honor to your name. Like a mighty storm.